All right. Samag Zayin over here. Lamnazer min Ginos Miz Moshir. So again, for the conductor, that's a Menatzeach. Neginos is the string music, you know, the harp and the lyre, etc. Miz Moshir, a song, but a song. So obviously the difference between a Mizmor and a Shir is that it is a full song completely. Now, the reason why this one is going to be a full song, an absolute song, is because we're talking about Mashiach in this parak. This is going to be about what the Yomos of Mashiach are going to be like and the great abundance that are going to be during that day. And David HaMelech really is offering a tefillah right now for Achishena. Achishena means to quicken, to speedily bring about the Mashiach and for everything to come quickly. That's what we're asking about. Elchim, Yochanenu, Vivorachinu. Give us favor and bless us. Ye'er Panav Yitanu Selah. Light up his face to us, Selah forever. Now, we ask in Birkas Kohanim, Ye'er Hashem Panav Elecha Vichu Necha, that Hashem may light up his face to you. One of the reasons why we say that is because we're asking for the ability to grant us the wisdom of Torah, and that's the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's countenance. But it also could refer to the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is paying attention to us. Like in this week's Parsha, Ine Hashem Elokecha Tamid Bo, that the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are constantly on Bnei Yisrael. It could also just refer to the pure chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the or is the chesed of Hashem. Either way, the Medrash tells us that it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, that he is going to give us, number one, a new Beis HaMikdash, number two, pure chesed, with everything that we could have in this world, you know, life and children and family life and wealth and etc. and everything like that. Number three is understanding, to be able to illuminate our understanding so we understand things very, very clearly. And we'll never lack again. That's the Selah. It'll be there forever. You never have to worry about it ever again, be lacking light or anything like that. And then it talks about the Hashkafa that we sit over there, and that's the length of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have. Okay, Ladas Ba'aretz Darkecha, that we now know your ways upon the earth, why you do what you do. I know, I just texted from somebody who was thank you, yeah. The whole Goyim Yeshuasecha, among all the nations, they should know of your salvation. That's what we're asking over here. So among all of your ways, the nations should know everything about you. That's the idea behind it. Now the Derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for his entire life. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Etc. Like, all those things that they should know among all of your Goyim, all of your Yeshuas. May all the people in the world give thanks to you, Hashem. Yoducha mim kulam, all of the people should thank you for everything that you've done. Now here, the peoples, the Amim, is really referring to Bnei Yisrael. It's an eventuality that all of the nations of the world are going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all going to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for now, it's really referring to Bnei Yisrael, that they should all do it together. We're in Samach Zayin, Hey, Pasuk Hey. Yismuchu v'ranu l'umim, they will be happy, and they'll sing all the other nations of the world. That's the difference between Amim and l'umim. Kisishpot Amim Mishor, when you judge all of the nations equally, l'umim ba'aretz tanchem tzela, and you lead, that's the tanchem, the nations upon the earth, whatever they need to do. Now this could be a reference to Mashiach as well. Remember Mashiach, one of the first things he's supposed to do is judge the nations. It's funny, it calls it Morach, as if Mashiach is smelling them out, sniffing them out from their hiding places and the bad things that they've been doing. And that's what it refers to over here. Remember, the Mashiach is the line of his anointed one. He is the one that's going to be in joy, being glad and bringing things upon the land itself. What do you got over here, Dave?
As soon as David seems to indicate, is mentioned twice and it's referring to two different kinds of nations.
Two different nations? What does he have over there?
Show me.
Which Mitsuda? The nations that did not do evil to Bnei Yisrael will be happy because they didn't see, they saw that all the nations are judged according to what they did. And they're happy that they didn't do evil to Bnei Yisrael. But I call it Baruch Hashem. We didn't do anything wrong. I wonder who that would be. Is there any nation like that? I guess South Americans haven't had much of a chance, but l'umim as a umos ahim t'nehagim ba'aretz l'olam l'taubah l'orcha l'rachba b'hashkosh. No, it's the same one. And those nations get to be led throughout Eretz Yisrael, to go through it to length and width and whatever it is in tranquility and peacefulness. Yeah, so that's okay. So then it has it. Okay, so then it says, where are we? Right. So and pasuk vav, another pasuk. Yodu chamim melukim, yodu chamim kulam. They should all thank you again. It's a repetition. Let us give thanks for everything that's happening over here and the goodness that comes through. Eretz Nasi Vila, the land will then, this is referring to the times of Mashiach, will give forth its produce without you doing anything at all. I mean, everything will happen without you having to do it. And may God bless us, the God, our God, in front of everybody. There will be such a great deal of food we won't know what to do with it. And I'm not comparing, you know, to what we have nowadays, but if Yemos HaMashiach could be compared to what we have now, we throw away 90% of our food.
Yeah. Can we talk about a month?
You know, it could be, because the Gemara does say that in the times of Mashiach there will be, or right, possibly Olam Haba, there's going to be the mud back, right?
Or we never throw out anything.
Yeah, and that makes sense, or it'll melt away, so to speak, before it happens.
I just don't know what the food now.
Yeah, if we wanted to define it as what we have now, it is ridiculous how much food we have and how much food we technically don't need. It's like one of those things that it's really pathetic. I just threw out a whole thing of cookies. Why? Because they're just a little too hard. Just a little bit. People would kill for those. You microwave them, but it's unbelievable. And that's the idea. The idea is that you're going to get it without plowing, without planting itself, and it's going to be a fine flower. Now, I was thinking about this before, and it really hit me. I brought my kids to this like ye old farm that had like a history museum in it that had whatever it is, and trust me, my kids loved it. They didn't go for that part. They went for all the other parts of this farm area, right? But I went to the museum with my daughter, and we looked inside, and we saw the general store. And the general store had flour, and it had, sugar, and it had whatever, and nothing else. So they made everything. Can you imagine if someone came into our world nowadays and looked at Jewel and saw cookies already made and bread already made, and everything's there.
Yeah.
All I have to do is buy it. This is what it refers to over here. We have an Eretz Nasni Vula. It's as if the land is already giving forth its produce without you doing anything at all. And it's only $2.99 for things of Chips Ahoy. I mean, come on. There couldn't be anything better than that.
When you have the island, the thing.
What do you have?
I was going to say that it sounds really racist, but the islands are saying that, like, come from these.
No, you're right.
Type of places that literally don't know what it is.
That's it. Came here in the 1980s, and we're looking at supermarkets, and we're just like, what is this place? Right. They can't understand it. Yeah, it's an amazing thing, right? And that's the idea, and that's the idea behind it. We need a bracha to be able to produce the fruit and be able to go through. Yevarchenu Elokim, may God bless us. And that's something that we don't remember either, by the way. The fact that the fruit perpetuates itself by having a shell around it to keep the fruit in and fresh. Well, what happens when you have a banana and you take out the peel? You take off the peel. You take in, most fruits when you take it off, and immediately rots. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for everything to work out. Yevarchenu Elokim, the Euros of Kof Seharz, and all the ends of the land. People at the ends of the earth will all see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, no matter where they are. And as you said, the islanders, you racist, right, of what's going to happen over here. That's the idea behind it. I'm saying you're racist. Fine. But either way, but that's that. Now, it is a...
What's the difference between Umim and Amim?
Leumim always refers to other nations. Amim can be a reference to our nation or other nations. But Leumim is without a question. A Leum is a nation. And that doesn't refer to us as Am Yisrael. And it's always in plural. And Am can be plural or singular. When it's singular...
It is Amim, though.
Yeah, so it's probably referring to the other nations. When it has Am, singular, then refers to Am Yisrael. When it refers to Amim, it usually refers to the other nations. But what the difference between them, this is an amalgam, right?
What?
No, this doesn't have the amalgam in it. The amalgam would have it, but I don't think we have
it. Your translates look different also. Here, translates Amim as peoples, and Umim as nations.
You're not going to have a good translation for it, that for sure. The question is what exactly it means. The other thing over here, this is 67 is the gematria of Bina. For understanding, this is one of the most, clear Tehillims, I guess you could say, something that David Melch was thinking about for quite a while. There is a tradition to say this during Sfiras Omer. There's also a tradition that this is on the shield of David Melch. Have you ever seen the menorah with Lam Natzeach in all the different places? Binyamin would know, and unfortunately it's not going to be here tonight, but Binyamin would know, all the Spartans see it. They have like all the words inscribed all the way around it. They say it all the way through. They read it in the form of the menorah. That's how they go through, like all the way around.
They say this in the Sfarim, Shachar Ceremony.
Nusuk Sfar. Is that really? That's what they do?
That's between Mishmashir.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That's how special. This is a special prayer, a special tefillah that goes through. All right, and now we have in Samach Ches, now it's referring to his Hatzlacha in wars, and he wants to win all the wars. It's going to mention the war of Sancheriv, you know, with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We're going to mention Gog and Magog. And we're going to mention, just simply put, when David HaMelech fought against Amon. When he fought against Amon toward the beginning of his life, the Nisim that were happening there at times, so Laman Atzef, with Mizmor Shir again. So it's going to be in the past, in the future. What's going to be now, it's just a Shir. In the future, it's going to be a Mizmor, something that's full for everybody. Yakum Elohim Yaputoi Bav. May God get up. Elohim is Midas Adin. May He scatter His enemies. V'yanusu Misanov Mipanov. And they should be run away, all of His enemies, from before Him. When they see that Midas Adin, they should be scared of that pure Midas Adin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to them. Kihindof Ashan, like one drives away smoke, Tindof. That's He'll drive them away as well. Kihimez donag mipneish, but wax melts before fire. Yogdu Rishayim Yunei Elohim. That's how the Rishayim should perish from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the idea behind it. So let's think of both of those for a second. The way that smoke disperses is, it's really easy. All you do is you just wave your hand at it and immediately it goes away. Now wax melting is going to take a little bit of pain. That's going to be some burning, right, in order to be able to melt the wax away. And even then, the wax leaves something on the bottom. But the wind will dissipate the smoke into the air and nothing will be there. So David HaMelech is asking in two different ways. The best thing is for them to dissipate like smoke in the air, that they're all gone completely. They don't have to worry about them at all. If they're here, then at least let them melt like wax. Let them be not powerful at all, shapeless, so to speak, as if there's nothing there. Let it be that way, you know, and that's the idea behind it. One of the ways that could happen is through taking the sun out of its sheath. Right, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world at the end of days is tzaddikim yochu bom uposhim mikash lebom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the sun out of its sheath and it ends up being seven times brighter than it is today, and then all of a sudden, right, the Rishayim are suffering like mad and the tzaddikim end up getting pleasure from it. It's like the Shekhinah radiates against us, that we will feel something from it.
It's not necessarily heat.
It will be like heat to the Rishayim.
Okay.
But it won't be like heat to us. It'll be brilliance. Hopefully, so to speak, that's going through. Yeah, that's what you hope. Anyway,
the whole melting candle thing be sort of a prophecy as to the nation, like when Yeshua conquered Israel, we left people here so that they could just like exist but go away.
That would be more like the wax instead of the smoke,
right,
because they never went away. Yeah, that's a good call. And David HaMelech is living hundreds of years after that, knowing what happened because of that. It's been 400 years and the Jews are still sinning because of those people that are there. That's good. Yeah, that is true. The other thing is that wax melts and then it hardens. It becomes extremely hard. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays everyone accordingly. That's supposed to be like a midah k'neged midah, that it, in order to make wax into something, you have to melt it, right? And then it goes all the way down. Tzadikim yismuchu, and the tzadikim should be happy. Yeah, also if Nelukim, they should exult and rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, yismuchu, they should be so happy, rejoice in everything that's going to be there. This could be in Gashmias and in Ruchnias. So the tzadikim should have both. They should have Gashmias and Ruchnias. This is the end of days when they're getting their full reward. Shir Elokim Zamushmo, sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing praises to His name. Solu larochev baravos, extol, and that really is sing out those praises to the one who rides upon the top skies. Biya shemo, his name is Biya, the ilzu lefanav, and rejoice in front of him. Now, yudke out of the shame yudke vavke is actually a midas adin instead of midas arachamim. Chesed is yudke vavke, but the yud hey in and of itself is midas adin. The same way that Elokim is midas adin, and el aleph lamed is considered midas arachamim. This is a different way altogether. Here, we're saying the half of the name, right, which is used in order to wage war against others. Kiyad al Kes Ya is what we say about Amalek. Their hand is on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not on Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, because Rachamim would supersede that and destroy it. But their hand is on Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, on the Yud-Kei of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That because of that, we don't have... We're not privy to the full Yud-Kei of Kol Neshama Ta'aloka. And the hope is that we can get it back. We'll be able to bring it back in some way, shape, or form. That's the idea of Solu L'Rochev, of preparing yourself, extolling yourself to the one who rides upon the Arabos, which is the seventh level of Shemayim. Avis Omri Dain Almanos, He is the father of the orphans and the judge of all widows. Elokim B'Amon Kodesho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from His habitation, from His holy place where He goes, where He protects and takes care of and makes sure that everybody is taken care of no matter where they are. That's what he's supposed to do. That's in Pasuk Vav over here. Elokim Moshe Dechidim Baiso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows all of the individuals to sit in their house, to be where they're supposed to be. Motzi Asirim Bakosharos. He brings out the prisoners into their I guess, Bakosharos. I don't know how to translate that. How does yours translate? What does it say by Kosharos? I would have thought that means in chains. He brings them on their chains. In prison, that's what he says. But in here he says into prosperity. That's weird. I would have said that it takes it out, like what you said. A kasher usually means something good. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Aksorim shachm tzchicha. But the rebellious, they sit in a parched land without anything that they need. So we're referring to the rebellious people over here is referring to the Egyptians that obviously were afflicting the Bnei Yisrael and refers to any nation that goes up against us and they get the plagues in order to destroy themselves. This Kosevos was there. So, halukim moshe yuchinim baiso. The individuals that deserve his loving kindness are going to be taken care of and sit in God's house. They'll be taken care of. You don't have to worry about them whatsoever. Because he takes care of the widows, because he takes care of the orphans, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us, everything's going to be okay. See, even though there are the enemies that are sitting all around and doing whatever it is, right? We're going to be happy at that point. They should be around. Now, this is an interesting one. Yeah, what do you
so
got?
So he uses prosperity because Rashi says that Motzi Asim Bekoshron Motzi Asim Bechayim Bechodeshu Kasher Lahotin Drachim.
Yeah, the word Kasher. Right.
So it's like...
So he brings out the ones imprisoned at a good time, at a time that's good for them, right? When it's not too hot, not too cold, anything like that. There's an awesome Gemara, and you might have heard this before. They say that this pasuk is a reference to making shiduchim, that moshid yechidim baisa, you take the individuals and you bring them into a house and put them together. So a woman, a Roman woman, once asked Rabbi Chalapta, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalapta, how many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? And he says, 6 days. He said, what has he been doing all the time until now? Meaning, up until now, what's he doing? So Rabbi Yosef Michalata says, he makes shiduchim. He allows men and women to get married to one another, and that changes all the time. So he takes care of everything of who's going to get what. Right? So the woman said, well, I can do the exact same thing. I don't need God to make shiduchim. I'm going to make my own shiduchim. So he took 100 slaves. She took 100 slaves and 100 maidservants and married them all off to each other. Said, you're going to go with you, you're going to go with you, you're going to go with you, and whatever, and put them into the house. They came out the next day, and this is a good one. I like this over here.
That works fine.
The next day they came to her. This one with a brain injury. This one with a missing eye. Another one with a broken leg. And that was just the guys, right? When it came to that, said, well, what's going on? She asked all of them. And they realized that each person didn't want that person and kept beating them up when they were coming near, saying, I don't want to be with you, I don't want to be with you. So she went to Yosef Kalapta and said, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working it out because there are so many shiduchim that work out, even though it's so hard to be able to put people together. Now, the divorce rate nowadays, you'd have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't directly involved when people are making their own decisions instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting them together. But nonetheless, that's the idea. Bechosharos, he translates as Bechi and Shiros. There is crying and songs that those who are content end up singing, and those who are not content end up crying. And that's the idea behind it, and that's how it goes through. Just remember that in lost level, when a person is entered into Gan Eden, a person is only entered in Gan Eden with their kosharos, with their mate, so to speak. So in other words, there's the husband and the wife that go up together. Their souls are connected to one another. So therefore, it is very difficult to have anything like that.
So you have to wait for the other person?
Correct.
You go first?
It's not like that because the souls are not, there's no time. So once you're up there, it's done. You know, like, so to speak, they're there at the same time, but there's no such thing as time. So it's like a billion years and like a second, you know, all at once, and it's totally not understandable. But that's the concept. The concept is that your full one is there. If you lived a horrible life, like you're married for like 50 years and you hate your wife completely, right, and you go up there and you're like connected with her for the rest of life, that would stink. But you'd have to assume, yeah, let's assume that there's going to be a Gilgal of some sort. I just went to my great-grandparents on my wife's side, had their 60th, my grandmother said, 65th wedding anniversary.
It's a long time.
65th wedding anniversary. Is that crazy? It really is crazy. Think about it. They're both healthy. Thank God. I mean, that's good. He is, 87 or 88, something like that. Baruch Hashem, they're fine. She still plays tennis.
That's crazy. Yeah.
He just had a hip replacement surgery, so he doesn't run anymore, but he used to run. It's crazy. But either way, that's the idea behind it. Others say that this pasuk is a very good one to say for childless couples. If a person isn't able to have a child, chas v'shalom, this is the pasuk that they say for it. When you go in front of your people, when you march them in through the wilderness, when you're walking in front of them, that's referring to when going through the midbar, obviously, lit in the fire, etc. Then the land trembled. Even the heavens dripped down at the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's seen in Elohim, Elohim Yisrael. Even Sinai, right? Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happened over here, that the mountains are going to be knocked down. See, even when B'nai Yisrael are traveling, even Sichon and Og, which were these huge mountain people, you know, these massive, massive people, even they had to drop down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they couldn't stand before Hashem. Geshem nidavos tani velokim. A very generous rain was poured down by God. Nachlos kamenilah. When your inheritance was weary, atochon until you made sure that it was established, that it was properly placed in the right place. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it's going to be over here. And that's the idea. When you're thirsting of water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always took care of us and made sure that we had what we needed over here. It's interesting because there was supposed to be a dew and a rain that came down at Har Sinai. Because, number one, we needed tzchias amesim. Many people died at the sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what they were able to witness, and therefore they needed the tchias amesim rain to come down to them to help them from what they were. Another thing is Torah is compared to rain. Torah is compared to everything. So, I mean, that works out well as well. But either way, the Torah is compared to rain. So when it says that there's a rain, a generous rain that was given to us, it's referring to the Torah being given to us, and that's the idea. Chayoscha yoshvuba, your flocks, your wild animals, referring to the Bnei Yisrael that were not. We're wild people living as slaves in Mitzrayim without the proper training. They sat in it, talking to us. You prepared good things for the poor people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea behind it. And this could be learned, maybe the lesson to be learned from this is that sometimes you have to learn like an animal. In other words, the same way that an animal has almost like an instinct to always go toward Torah learning and to try to learn the way that he does, even when he's, whatever it is, it does what it needs to do, no matter what. Maybe that's the idea as well. There are unbelievable things that animals have instincts when it comes to saving their kids. And, you know, we haven't figured it out completely. Well, this as well, but when it comes to saving their kids, helping their kids, animals will starve before their kids starve. They will give everything to their kids. Now, there are exceptions, meaning a male lion coming into a new pride will kill all the children of the previous lion, right, in order to make sure that all the kids are his. So, obviously, it's not about young, where the old are taking care of the young always. It's that their own children, they give everything to.
Makes sense, though.
Yeah. Well, saying, like, why, in order to take over.
In order to take over.
But it's not a question of making sense.
Humans would also do that.
It's not a question of making sense. First of all, no, I don't think people would. People have the ability to have...
With dynasties?
Will have love for kids no matter what.
If they're not your own?
Yeah, because there's svara. It's the exact opposite. With instinct, you only go by what's yours.
I wouldn't say
if there's svara, then you're going that. And you're talking about kings that are animals.
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just talking about old dynasties. Nowadays,
then you're kings that are animals. Those are animals.
I guess so.
Those are not human beings. Human beings have respect for any child.
Say the old dynasties, like the Asian dynasties.
Okay, so whatever it is. Any human being that kills a child is an animal. That's not a human being. I always call it that way. So it's the opposite. The svara is that you wouldn't kill a child.
Okay.
Because as a child, as a defenseless kid, how can you do that? But the instinct is, my child is important, the other children are not. And that's what the animals have. So in a way, a person has to be that way. It is a large... It's an interesting little Gemara that says that in order to learn Torah, you have to be as cruel as a raven. You have to blacken your teeth in Gemara and Tainus. You have to blacken your children's teeth in Tainus. I forgot who it was. I can't remember the name of the Amora that said it by, but he was starving, and his wife told him, what are you going to do for your own kids? And he said, like, are there plants in the field for them to eat? They can eat grass in order for them to go learn. And that was the line that the Gemara used. It's not something that we do today. We're not in that world anymore. But that's that. It was so funny. I was going on this tour of Chicago, of old-time Chicago, and this guy told us, this guy was almost like reminiscing about the old times and like how there's no Jews who own, like, you know, Maxwell Street down in the old time Chicago. There's nothing like it nowadays. Now there's like, there was Devon, but even Devon is not like that anymore. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what Jew wants to own a store? Like, you can't make a living that way. Not anymore. You can't do it. Like, you buy everything online. Nobody goes around. It's just not done anymore. Like, you'll own a Best Buy. You'll own, like, a Mariano's. Like, who in the world is going to own, like, a little shop? It just doesn't happen anymore. It's just not the same. I was just saying, it's just a different world. It's not the world anymore. He's like complaining that it was only Pakistani and Indian throughout the van. I'm like, I'm shocked they haven't turned it all into apartments yet. It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, but that's that. This also refers to a person that is hurrying his meals in order to get back to whatever is more important and stuff like that. Okay, let's go into the next one over here. Right, Hashem Yitein Omer. Hashem gives word. I'm about to self a rug. Okay, those who give good tidings are a very great host. At this point, it's going to be Mevasros Tov. The women are going to help us be able to defeat our enemies at war and do what we need to do at war. So, for example, let's say Esther in the Purim story, Yehudis in the Hanukkah story. The women were involved to make sure, and they were at Savarov, a great host that was able to fight. Not fight with weapons, because that's not what we do, but rather helping in a different way to be able to do whatever they need to. Malfitzvaos Yedudin Yedodim. The kings of those armies, all those hosts, will flee far away. Unavas Bais Chalak Shalol. And even those who dwell in houses will be able to take plunder. In other words, even the woman will be able to get out there to be able to take the plunder, even though they're normally in the house, they normally don't get out whatsoever. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us that they'll be so scared of the Jews that are coming out to fight them, they'll run away, leave what they have there, and everybody will be able to come and take it and everything like that. That's the idea. Tishkevun ben shvatoyim. When you lie by the boundaries, the wings of the dove are covered with silver, and the wings are shimmering with gold itself. Now he's encouraging his warriors and he's telling them the following. He says, be like a dove that's covered with silver. You should know you don't have to worry about anything, right? And you should make sure that you are the ones that are well protected. You are the ones who are silver. You're the ones who are gold. You don't have to worry about anything else that's going over there. Be faithful. And that's what a dove is to its mate as well. Some say it's referring to the women of Mitzrayim who used to use these mirrors to make themselves more beautiful for their husbands, so their husbands who were exhausted from the work, they would still have a desire for them, so they'd still have children and everything like that, and that's the concept behind it. Another thing we learn from here with the Kanta Yonah is Elisha Bal Knafayim. Kanta Yonah Nechba B'Kesef is a reference to Elisha Bal Knafayim, which is the way a person has to be when it comes to being clean for tefillin. The Gemara says that Elisha Bal Knafayim one time was wearing tefillin when they weren't supposed to. The Romans or the Greeks had made an edict not to wear tefillin, and he ran away from a certain hegemon, one of these officers who ran after him, and he took off his tefillin and he put it in his hands, and the hegemon said, what's in your hands? And he said, dove wings. And he said, open it up. And he opened it up and it was dove wings, and that was what was in his hands. So first of all, he lost a pair of tefillin, which is upsetting, right? But second of all, that is where we get the minhag from, to tie our tefillin around the sides of the tefillin box to make it like dove wings. It comes from there. That's the minhag. Yes. It's from the Ritzvah in Shabbos and Mem Tesma days. Crazy, right?
But so what if you do the Shayat only on one side?
You have a one-winged dove.
Oh, I was going to do it on like this side. It doesn't make a difference to your side.
I don't know. What's a dove like? It's a dove that has wings right here.
No.
I don't know. It's what the Ritzvah says. Tesvah, the Oriz Shaddai Malachim Bo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spreads out the kings for Bnei Yisrael, Tashleg Bitzalmon, there's going to be those in the shadow of darkness will be as white as snow. In other words, those who have sinned will be cleansed as if they are in snow itself. Now, this is an extremely crazy pasuk when it comes to Kabbalah. It's used in a bunch of old Kabbalists' farm. I don't know them. I'm going to pretend like I've never seen them before. But it is used in a bunch of places that should be like Sheleg in the Tzalmon. Halakim Ar Bashan, the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like the mountain of Bashan, right? In other words, filled with wheat, filled with all the good things that animals can eat, etc. Gavnunim Har Bashan. Har Sinai, Gavnunim is also known that way. Gavnunim is the name for Har Sinai. Har Bashan was also like Har Bashan. It might not have been as big. Har Sinai was not as big as Har Bashan itself, but nonetheless, Har Sinai was considered a very chashuv mountain. Why are you running, these mountains of high hills? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already desired the mountain for his abode, where he's going to live, which is Har Moriah, Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will live there forever. So even though all the mountains ran and danced in order to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Torah to be brought on them, right, they weren't given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be specifically over here. Rechav Elokim Yubosayim, the chariots of God, when he came down in Har Sinai, were filled with myriads, tens of thousands of malachim. Alpei Shinon, repeated malachim, thousands upon thousands. Adonai Bom, Hashem was among them. Sinai Bakodesh, and Sinai Bakodesh, among the Kodesh, everything that was right over there. An angel is known as Shinon, as serene, because they're calm. there's nothing else for them to do other than to do what Akash Baruch Hu tells them to do. There's no worries or problems or anything ill will about them. Alisa Lamarom Shabisa Shabi, you've gone up high and you have taken captives, you have taken gifts, right, from man. Basorin Lishkon Yalokim, you even of the rebellious ones, right, that Akash Baruch Hu should dwell among us. And this is an interesting one over here. The simple pshat is that you warriors have descended upon your enemies and have taken everything you have. You've gifts from even the worst of the enemies. But this is a medrash as well to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went up high to Har Sinai and stayed 40 days and 40 nights up in Shemayim. During that time, he davened, not the first 40 days where he did the luchos, not the last 40 days when he did the second luchos, but the middle 40 days. He spent there davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, all of the malachim gave him gifts on the way out. And even the Malach HaMavis came to him and told him the secret of the Ketores, that if there's ever a plague, if you burn Ketores, the plague will stop. And that's exactly what they did by Korach. After Korach was over and the people still complained, there was a massive plague that went out by the people, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu sent out Aaron to bring Ketores to stop the plague. That's what it mentions over there, and that was the gift that he got from the Malach HaMavis, and that's hinted to in this pasuk. Even the rebellious ones, the Malach HaMavis, Lishkon Yalakim, even they gave you a gift, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what ended up happening over here. There is also a mashal over here. A fine but poor individual came to a man of riches to complain about his situation. He was impressed with the poor man, right? And he found him to be an upstanding person. The wealthy man gave him a written recommendation to give to his chief administrator. The poor person did as instructed, happy in the expectation of a good sum of money. He was expecting to get a good amount. Instead, he was handed a gold ornament, the kind that was worn by the rich man's representatives, which identified them as agents of his commercial enterprise. The recipients did not understand the significance of the gift, and he protested. He sat there and he's like, "What is this? It's a sheet of paper. It doesn't make any sense. I want gold. I want silver. I'm not getting anything whatsoever." He said to him, "You don't understand how precious this is. You bring this anywhere, you will get whatever you want. It's like a get out of jail free card. It's a get everything you want card. It doesn't look like gold. It's better than gold because it will never run out." That's the idea behind it. You're going to be the one in charge. And that's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu going up high and receiving the gifts. He gave us something that we never will get rid of. We sat there and we felt like, "Oh, but where's our money?" And Moshe Rabbeinu is like, "You don't understand. This is the source of all your money. Everything is from here if you use it correctly." Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom Na'aslan. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day he gives us a burden. At least we'll send us someone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of our deliverance. He will save us and take care of us every single day. That's the idea of the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. Don't worry about the fact that you're sitting with Yisurin. These Yisurin Shalava. It's Yisurin that are given to you out of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order for you to improve. And you make brachos every single day. Hillel and Shammai learned from this that every single day you should sit there and you should buy something for Shabbos. Shammai would buy something, he'd find a nice animal, and he would say, "This is for Shabbos." Then he found a finer animal, he would feast on the first, and then set the second one aside for Shabbos. But Hillel was a little bit different. Hillel said, it's a quality of trust, so to speak. Everything he did, L'shem Shamayim, he sat there and he said, "For Shabbos, for Shabbos, for Shabbos." And he saved everything he could to be able to go through. And that's the idea of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Yamaslanu, that the burdens of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be upon us every single day. Eolanu El Mashos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be for us a God of salvations. V'leilukim Hashem L'mavas Totsaos. And to God belongs all the results of death. Now the Gemara says something crazy about this. Totsos is the gematria. I got to remember altogether. It's 912. Is that it? 903. Is that it? I don't remember. Yeah, 903. There are 903 different forms of death. That's what it says over here. The worst of them is askara, and the best of them is nishika. That's what we learn from this puzzle. Lamavis, totsos. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know how many different ways of death there are. I can't think of more than 10, right? But I guess there must be more.
What?
Maybe. Yeah, I would think there's subgroups. Like, you think of strangulation, right? So that pretty much takes care of drowning.
Well, that's
suffocation. Yeah, that's all, right? Strangulation is a form of suffocation, so is drowning. They're all in the same category, right? They're all not breathing.
No,
so that's what I would think.
903, they're not.
I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to count it. I don't know why Chazal darshan that specifically also. It's a strange thing in and of itself. Either way, it is an interesting thing that Nishika is the best one.
Anything with losing blood on them. Like,
yeah.
Getting your head cut off versus just getting stabbed. I'm saying,
Yeah, I guess sword. I would have called that all sword play. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu smashed the head of his enemies. Kodkod Seor, Misal Vashomov. The hairy skull. This is obviously a reference to Esav. I guess you can get it. Misal Vashomov should go on with his guilt and go where it's supposed to be over here. Either it's referring to Amalek being destroyed, etc. Omar Hashem mi Boshan Ashiv. I will bring back from Ashiv Ashiv Mitzul Zim. I will bring back from the depths of the sea. I will bring them back. Not allowing them to ever return to their homeland itself. That your foot may wade through the blood. Lashon Klavecha, the tongue of the dogs. Ma'ivim Minehu should have its portion from the enemy. So first of all, I like this. Lashon Klavecha, your dog's tongue. That means the Jews own dogs. I never knew that.
I thought we weren't supposed to.
I know.
Why aren't we?
I don't remember seeing that anywhere else. Klavim are supposed to be the emissaries of the Satan, based on different psukim in Tanakh, and based on what happened by Noach and Mabel, where they were together with their mate on the Teva. But I don't know. It's clear that dogs are man's best friend. The line from Rav Wolfson on is that Kelev is Kalev, that they only have a heart for their master, and they don't care about a Kadosh Baruch Hu if they have a master, which means that they have no pure emunah. They believe in whatever is in front of them at that moment.
Wasn't there a Mishnah just recently in Bavakawa?
Yeah.
That we just did?
Kelev Ra.
Yeah.
That's a different issue. That's a dog that can actually hurt, that can bite and hurt you.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, 100%. That's not only a mission. It's the Gemara. That was one of the Tanoim of Yoshua.
Right.
Right. He smells all rattles.
But aren't they all programmed the same? You just reprogram them not to?
Correct. But it does say Kelev Ra. So it must be there are Kelev Tovs as well. It's Kelev Ra over there. Because otherwise they all... The Gemara knocks out all Chatsulim, right? Because that's the Gemara of Baba Kama, that all cats are taken down because right. of that one situation where Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi saw a cat eat a human hand.
Right.
Right. So they took down all cats. But dogs, they only say Kelevim Raim. Right? And that's that. The barking dogs, the loud dogs that go out there. It's an interesting call, though. Yeah.
You're right. If you put any dog in a very like dire situation, he's like that instinct probably will kick in, no matter what.
Yes or
dog
no? Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I'd love really? To see if that were true. You have to find a really crazy situation. Do dogs eat their owner if they're starving and the owners are dead? Then.
I would assume so.
I'm reading somewhere that it didn't happen, that they found a dog that was starving, but it didn't eat its owner. I remember reading that somewhere, but then I read
that. It could also be one case.
You never know. Like, yeah, you really have no idea. All right, anyway, Roa Lichoseka Elohim. They saw your ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lichos Elohim Alki, the ways of my God, my King, Bakadosh. And they saw what was done in holiness, all the Nisim and all the miracles that happened through him. Maybe this referring to Mashiach comes, etc. They saw maybe B'nai Yisrael, right? B'nai Yisrael acting in holiness, etc. But Pasuk Chavav, Kidmu Sharim Achar Nognim. The singers will go after the players, B'soch Alam HaSofeifos, among the damsels, playing upon their whatever it is. Maybe it's referring to Kriyas Yamsuf. Maybe it's referring to everything else. It's interesting, by the way. The Mi'am always points out is Besoch Alamos Tofefos, that the damsels, right, were in a circle around, and that the men were dancing in the middle. But the damsels were not dancing with the men. The women were not dancing with the men. They were outside of one another over here. The Malachim were not able to praise and sing during that time. Only B'nai Yisrael were allowed to do so. The Makel's Baruch Elohim, among all the Kilos, the full assemblies, God, they all bless you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Mimakor Yisrael. They bless Hashem from the fountains of all of Israel. That's the idea behind it, meaning all of them saw the Shekhinah itself. Here's a line the Medrash says that they, even the infants, even the little babies lifted themselves up, were able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. This is Machlokas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Agli. Rabbi Kiva learns like Rabbi Yehuda that this pasuk refers to B'nai Yisrael at the Yamsuf, that the babies, the Makor Yisrael, the source of B'nai Yisrael, meaning even in their mother's womb, they were able to see all the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, and they sang and said, Zekei Levan Veyu. Another medrash, Rabbi Yosef Agli says that this refers to every time you bench with more people, you got to add on to the bracha. So for example, you have three people, you say, Nivarech Shachanu Mishalov. If you have 10 people, you say, Nivarech Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalov. If you have 100 people, you say, Nivarech Hashem Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalov. If you have 1,000 people, you say, Nivarech Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Shachanu Mishalov. If you have 10,000 people, I don't remember what it is. It's a long one. It's Nivarech Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael. This something or other. It goes on for a while, right? And it goes on. And that's what you should do. Rabbi Yosef Gluli Darshan, this pusik to learn out that line. Can you help me for a second? Where is that?
I'm
saying, where would it be?
They have brachos nun amin aleph.
Nuns. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's right there.
And
Sota is the one with Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi Yehuda, the original Rabbi Yehuda statement. I don't remember what's in Ksuvas.
Zion and
That makes sense. It's probably referring to the same. Oh, it's probably referring to this, because Zion and Beis is the Agadata. Shom Binyamin Sawyer Rodame. There, Binyamin, the youngest, rules them. Sawyer Yehuda Rigmasam. The officer of Yehuda stoned them. Sawyer Zvulun, Sawyer Naphtali. The officer of Zvulun and Naphtali. What's this referring to? Yehuda wanted to be the first people to jump into the Yamsuk. So Nachshon Binyamin Nadav went in. He was the one who went in all the way up to his nose. When Nachshon Binyamin Nadav went in, Binyamin jumped in with him. So Binyamin was the first full Shevet to go into the Yamsuf and sacrifice their lives. Yehuda said, wait, that's for us. We're the king. We're supposed to go first. And they started stoning them. Now, obviously, there was a medrash behind all this. The idea behind it, right?
Left out of the narrative.
What? That's cool, right? But the medrash behind it is something so cool.
Yeah,
Yehuda is David HaMelech, and Binyamin is Shaul HaMelech. And then when Yehuda started to become kings, right, when the kingship was starting to go through, and Nachshon Binyamin tried to bring it into Yehuda, Binyamin took it over quickly, but then Yehuda overtook them. So yeah, he stoned them and took them down.
That's
so
not how it happened.
What do you
David
mean?
Wasn't in the picture when Shaul was crowned.
So you're right, because really it would be Shmuel HaNavi who would be referenced over here, and he'd be the one. But perhaps we'd go all the way back to Othniel ben Kenaz. Othniel ben Kenaz was the first Shofet, and he was from Shevet Yehuda. So perhaps that's the reference
then
over here.
There's the other half of that story.
Which one?
About it being David and Shaul. If you introduce it, if you go as far back as Othniel ben Kenaz, there's no...
No, you don't need it. It's all a remnant of how the Malchus of Bnei Israel sort of like went through. It's clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu was from Shevet Levi, right? Yoshua was obviously Shevet Ephraim, right? So you have that. Then it got switched over to Shoftim, which is a different level altogether. Were they kings? Were they not kings? This is a discussion that Chassam Sofer has in Reish Chet and Shaz Jewish Orachayim. He discussed whether or not they were considered kings with the status of Malachim. It's possible they were, and if an Othniel ben Kenaz was the very first one to have that king status or whatever you want to call it, then he was from Shevet Yehuda, and they got switched over because Shamgar ben Anos, Devor and Avia, Ehud ben Gera. We don't even know where most of these people are from. We know Devor and Avia was from Naphtali. We don't know that, or the guess is that she was from Naphtali. We're dealing with a lot of different questions over here. But either way, Zvulun and Naphtali also started throwing things, casting stones for jumping in ahead of them. I got to show you a book. There's a book that was written by a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Tzvi Reisman in L.A. Wrote a book on the Rosh Chodesh and stuff like that. Tremendous stuff based on this idea of what Binyamin, how Binyamin jumps in before the other Shvatim.
Yeah, but Zvulun and Naphtali were... always further down the totem pole.
Yeah, the kasha is, why Zvulun and Naphtali? Where does Zvulun and Naphtali come from? Yeah, that's a
like
good
everybody
call.
Knew. Like Binyamin was getting the choice land in Israel too. It's not. There's no.
Yeah, and you can't even compare that to the Shoftim because Elon Hazvulani was the only Shoftim, and he was like number 12 out of all of them. And Naphtali, granted, that could have been Devorah, who was number 4. Either way, she was the 4th Shoftim, not anything more than that. So why her over anybody else? Anyway, Tziba Lekecha Uzecha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was commanded all of your strength. Uzal Lekim Zupal Tzolanu. Your strength, that's what you gave to us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lekecha Yerushalayim. From your temple of Yerushalayim, Mecha Yuvil Malachim Shai, all the kings will bring their gifts. Garchai Eskona. Rebuke the wild animals with reeds. Adas Abir Be'egle Amin, the company of bulls together with the calves of the other nations. This is sort of like a plea, almost like all those enemies that are sitting there, knock them down. Ingratiate them with pieces of silver. Scatter the nations to be close when they desire to come close to you in battle. Right, that's the idea behind it. Maybe it's referring to Asaph specifically because they're the ones who live in the reeds. Who knows? Yeah, I saw you, Kashmani Min Yitzrayim. The nobles will come out of Egypt. Kush Taritz Yadav Lelokim, and Kush will quickly give his hands over, referring to gift. Over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to either convert, maybe they're going to do stuff like that, or maybe they're going to want to come to us, and whatever it is, maybe it's because Mashiach will have to accept the gifts from them, who knows. Mamachos are true, Lekim Zamru Ado Hashem Selah. The kingdoms of the land, they sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they sing Hashem, how great Hashem is forever and ever. to one, the one who rides upon the heavens up above, or the ancient heavens, he will send out his voice in a very strong cold. And what that means is, when he rides upon the heavens, it means he rules over the constellations. That whatever the constellations say, whatever people see up in the stars, and say, oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and they can predict the future. Kripa, who rides above it and does what he wants with them, in defiance to what they see over there, and gives them what each one of them needs to do Ozlokim, therefore gives strength to God, Yisrael Gav also, over Bnei Yisrael's all of his pride, Uzo Bashkokim, his strength is throughout all of the skies over here. That's the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The makor of all of our Gevura comes from him. And there, Nora Elokim Mikdoshecha, awesome is God from your holy places. And really, it's Mimikudoshecha, from Bnei Yisrael who do holy things. That gives the power to God, so to speak. El Yisrael Lunas and Ozeth Zimzom. The God of Israel should give strength and power back to his nation. Baruch Elokim, blessed is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea, that we give God strength by doing mitzvot and doing chesed and allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule over the evil of the world. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn gives that strength back to us, for us to be able to rule over. Alright, this is a short one. I don't know how short. Maybe we should stop with this for right now. Alright, we'll stop with this for right now. This is, we're up to Samach Tes.